Hour 1, AM 590 ESPN Omaha. You know, if there's a song that I really like, and if we're talking like 80s sort of power ballads, and that was Scorpion's Winds of Change. It's a good song with the little whistling at the beginning. Well, that's what's going on in Green Bay, the Winds of Change. Not only was Mike McCarthy let go on Sunday, but then today we find out that associate head coach Winston Moss has also been dismissed by interim coach Joe Philbin. We welcome in Dave Sinekin of TheHeadCheese.com. And Dave, I want to start with the Winston Moss news, knowing that there was a tweet that was a little bit pointed at the leadership, the overall leadership. And it does mention, as he says, number 12, Aaron Rodgers, that he needs to be accountable. Everybody else in the organization needs to be accountable to a, as he said, a Lambo standard. How much of that, and I know Joe Philbin said it wasn't a big part, but it maybe had something to do with it, but how much of that do you think led to the dismissal of Winston Moss from the staff?
Well, the fact that it happened today or yesterday, I would say 99.9. I think it's pretty obvious that was the tipping point. I don't think he was a guy that was going to be brought back. Obviously, there's going to be a whole new staff in town. This is a guy that, you know, he's been a part of the McCarthy regime pretty much since the beginning. You could argue that, you know, any guy that coached the Packers linebackers probably should check his job security anyway, because that unit has underperformed really for a number of years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's been strange. Even early in minicamp, he had some real strange combative answers to the press and was basically taken off the list of available coaches by the Packers, because he was really doing some strange things and almost inciting the reporters who are just trying to do their jobs. So it's been a strange year for Winston Moss. I think the fact that he went public and didn't keep things in-house spelled the end for him. What I find strange is the fact that the Packers are trying to paint this as Joe Philbin's decision. I mean, clearly this is Mark Murphy, Gutekunst, it's everybody who asked Joe Philbin to make the change. I don't think a guy who's handed the title interim coach 4 days later is going to start whacking guys off the staff of his own volition. So it's just, I don't know, kind of a bad look for the organization in my mind.
You know, McCarthy had been there for a long time, Dave. Are we going to have one of those weird, like, internal power struggle type things where some, you know, players and coaches are still loyal to him and then, you know, other guys wanted to see him gone for a long time, and that going to affect things here in the short term, do you think?
You know, I'm not sure that that's going to be the case. You know, really, Joe Philbin's the only guy in really on the power side of things right now that has a long history with this team. Remember, Mike Pettine is the first year defensive coordinator, and you know, I think it's always offense versus defense. I think the offensive players probably will be hit a bit harder by McCarthy's loss than the defensive guys. I don't think you'll see it on the field these next 4 weeks. I think Green Bay is going to play to win against Atlanta. We might see a better effort against the Falcons, but you know, really, there are going to be some young players they're going to look at, I think. They've activated a draft pick, a pass rusher who had been on the practice squad all year, to give him a look. I don't know. I don't think you'll really notice that on the field, but clearly it's an earth-shaking move, and the fact that it happened during the season, which is something this organization is not known for, had never done before, really does send a clear message that Mark Murphy is the sheriff in town. And I'm not crazy about the hierarchy is set up right now, where the GM and the coach each report to Mark Murphy, but that's what the Packers have, and Murphy's the guy that's going to make these calls.
Talking with Dave Sinekin of TheHeadCheese.com. Dave, I want to get into Aaron Rodgers because, you know, there's the obvious. He is, without question, one of the, if not the best, active quarterback right now with his skill set. But as we have heard over the last years, not always the easiest guy to deal with internally, whether it's Mike McCarthy, heard some things from Jordy Nelson before too. I mean, is it kind of like the attractive girl you still want to date? Because every organization, if Aaron Rodgers became available, would want him to be their quarterback. Is it kind of one of those things like it's the very attractive girl you still want to date, even though that she's got the high-end taste, she wants the Gucci bag, she wants everything. You don't care because you know she's still the hot girlfriend. Is that kind of what Aaron Rodgers is in the Packers organization, where there's a lot that they'll just kind of put up with him?
Yeah, I think there's some of that. I think that both he and McCarthy go back a long way, obviously, and both had big egos and a lot of power, and I think there was a struggle between the two, and you could just clearly see it from really the beginning of this season. It just didn't seemed like it was working. Rodgers hasn't seemed to be enjoying what he's doing. His play has been uneven. You can look at the throwaways. You can look at the throws in the dirt. Something's been off. And whether it's the relationship with McCarthy, I point to the fact that he's got a lot of new receivers, tight ends this year, has had no chance to really practice. They didn't play the preseason on the field. He gets hurt game one and doesn't practice for the next 8 weeks. You can't just, even if you're Aaron Rodgers, you can't just step on the field with a whole new cast of characters outside of Davante Adams and expect the offense to flow. So I felt like the offense needed to be tweaked to make things a lot simpler when you're relying on rookie receivers, first-year tight end. And I don't think they adapted really well to the circumstances, both with the new players and with the injury. But bottom line is, you know, the entire world has told Aaron Rodgers for years that he might be the best human being to ever do what he does.
Yep.
That's got to impact any human being in some way if you're just a normal person. And that's going to impact how you conduct yourself. You hope in a positive way. And I think Rodgers is still dealing with how he needs to be as a human being in that locker room, and he's evolving. And I think he needs to sort of clean out his own house as well as the Packers look to make a big decision here with the guy that's going to have to coexist with Rodgers' twilight years and get the best out of him.
Well, and Dave, let's talk a little bit about that decision. I know there's been some discussion about Lincoln Riley, the Oklahoma head coach, and you know, making that jump to the NFL, whether it be with Green Bay or Cleveland or someplace else, pardon me. Do you think that Rodgers specifically and the Packers would actually look to a college coach like that that doesn't have that NFL kind of personnel management experience for this job?
Yeah, that's such a great question and something I've been thinking about a lot, and I'm sure a lot of Packer fans and football fans have. I mean, Lincoln Riley is about 3 months older than Aaron Rodgers. Now, you might say, well, how's Rodgers going to respect a guy that's never been in the NFL, that's his own peer as far as age? I don't know. I mean, you can look at that one or two ways. I find it a bit difficult to believe that Green Bay would go that route and really roll the dice in such a way like that with a college coach that certainly may have all the chops to be an innovative offensive mind and be just what the doctor ordered. But that's such a gamble. And, you know, a lot was made about Rodgers is not going to be a part of the decision-making process. But I think you have to believe he is going to be much involved with whoever they bring in to get a feel for the guy, to see what kind of chemistry they have. There's going to be some inclusion on Rodgers in the process. And to me, man, that would be really rolling the dice. But I don't have a whole lot of names on my list of proven coaches in this league that are great offensive minds that might be the perfect fit for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, one guy that I thought might be worth a look has already said he's not interested, and that's Bruce Arians, who I thought might be coaxed back into the situation in Green Bay with Rodgers and might feel like he's got what it takes to bring him back to what we expect from him, but he has made it clear he's not interested. So, yeah, I mean, Riley is going to be a name that I'm sure they'll discuss, but I'd be really surprised. I think they look at this job as a plum job in the NFL with a Hall of Fame quarterback and all the things Green Bay brings with it. And I think they're looking to shoot a little higher with a more proven NFL name.
We know that Mark Murphy has said, and I don't know if you believe this, Dave, but has said that Joe Philbin is a serious candidate. How serious do you think that is, as opposed to just saying the right thing because there's four games left in the season?
Yeah, I think he has to say it. I happen to like Joe Philbin a lot, but I think the way this offense has performed this year, look, he was brought back as offensive coordinator because the Packers offense was at its most prolific when he was in that job 3, 4, 5 years ago. Again, the injury, the new receivers, there are a lot of reasons why this offense isn't clicking. But the fact that the offense has been so disastrous this season with Philbin as the offensive coordinator, to me, is a mark against him. And I've told the story a lot on KFAN up here in the Twin Cities over the years. Matt Burke, you know, the former Viking center, talked to me years ago when he was patrolling the halls of KFAN and said, you know, your tight ends coach, Joe Philbin, that guy who was his coach at Harvard, an offensive coach at Harvard when Burke was there, he said, that guy, Joe Philbin, is the greatest coach I've ever had on any level. You're going to hear a lot about this guy. This was about 10 years ago. So I always kind of remembered that and followed Philbin's career. And obviously in Miami, it didn't work out real well. I do think he's a really bright offensive mind. And you know, would it totally shock me if the Packers decided to go defense with a head coach and found some big defensive-minded name to take over this team and remake this team, let's build and run the offense? Wouldn't shock me, but I think the betting money says they're going to look for an innovative offensive mind. Is that Josh McDaniels? Is that Jim Harbaugh? Those are the names you're going to hear a lot, I think, over the next few weeks, and I think they'll probably talk to both of those guys and gauge their interest.
Well, you know, aside from whoever the head coach is going to be, Dave, we know Rodgers needs to get healthy, and that's been kind of a problem for him this last year. But what else do the Packers need to do, you know, personnel-wise to try and get this thing back on the track in short order?
Well, what side of the ball do you want to start on? I mean, offensively, I think they're going to need to find a way to get the tight end position right. They tried Martellus Bennett last year, Jimmy Graham this year. The 30-something tight end who's had great careers doesn't seem to be it. They both didn't have much left in the tank. So they have to identify a young tight end, whether that's with one of their two first-round picks, whether that's in free agency if someone's available. That position is really important. Well, I guess we'll have a new offense, so we'll see how important it is depending on who takes the job. But I think tight end, maybe one more veteran receiver to go with the youthful guys that they're counting on. And the right side of the offensive line is going to need some work, too, with the uncertain knees of Brian Bulaga and kind of been a revolving door at right guard. So offensively, few positions there need work. Defensively, I think they're really solid up front on the line and at cornerback with what they did in the draft. But the safety position has to be blown up. They're going to have up to $40 million in cap space, and Brian Gutekunst is going to be active. You're going to probably see them say goodbye to Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, possibly Brian Bulaga, and I think finding a safety, maybe a Landon Collins type if he's a free agent. I think they're going to make a big splash at safety, and they certainly need to remake their linebacker group because with Matthews and Perry likely on the way out, they need pass rushers in a big way. So a lot of work to be done. I think it all starts with who the coach is. Is it a defensive coach, an offensive coach? But clearly it's you said it best, winds of change. A big change coming for this roster. I think Gutekunst has done a nice job in the first year. Ted Thompson's last couple drafts were really left wanting as far as guys that could really help this roster. I like what Gutekunst has done. He's got a lot more work to do. And as I said, a lot of positions need shoring up.
Dave, not only the winds of change with Green Bay, but in the division alone, too, seeing what the Vikings have been able to put themselves in and now seeing what Chicago looks like they might be going forward and maybe even a year earlier than what most people expected. You think about Green Bay going through maybe somewhat of a transition with leadership, and I go back to Winston Moss's tweet. When he does say that, you know, there needs to be accountability with number 12 and everybody in the building. And I think about not only Aaron Rodgers, I think of guys like Clay Matthews. You mentioned Bulaga, guys that have been there, guys that have been sort of the face of Green Bay. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is that face. But, I mean, is there some truth to his tweet? Are guys, in your opinion, maybe not being held accountable across the board that need to be? Or is this just something that maybe was a little, kind of overdoing it when Winston Moss tweeted this out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in there, so it's hard for me to really know. I'm sure there is something to it, absolutely. As I said, Moss has been a bit of a loose cannon of late, so I'm not going to just take what he says sure. And say, oh, my God, there's a real crisis going on in that locker room. But, yeah, again, I think everyone tells Rodgers how great he is, and he hears that. And I think he has to have somebody in his ear that's telling him, look, look at that throw you just tried to get to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Look at that overthrow on the easy touchdown to Devontae Adams. You've got to clean up your game, and we got to go back to fundamentals.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's sort of been a lost season. Every go back to week one in the Bears game where he got hurt. I just feel like everything changed that night. And, you know, here's a name to consider, because when Green Bay was looking for a new defensive coordinator last year, they were really interested in Vic Fangio, mm-hmm. who has – really dominated Green Bay, whether he's been in San Francisco. He's not dominated in Chicago, but those defenses have always given Green Bay some trouble, even though Rodgers' record against the Bears is really good. You know, what if they look to maybe weaken the Bears a bit and offer the head job to Vic Fangio, like a Mike Zimmerheil, the longtime defensive coordinator has never had a chance at a head coaching job. Maybe they look to hurt the Bears and bring in a Vic Fangio. I don't think that's a crazy thought. It might be something they look to do. Everybody's talking about John DeFilippo, the Vikings offensive coordinator who has ties to Mark Murphy and other Packers. But I'd be really surprised if they went that route. To me, it'd be much less surprising if they brought Vic Fangio in for a few words after the season.
Dave Sinigan once again with TheHeadCheese.com. Great place to check out all the very latest with the Green Bay Packers. Dave, really appreciate your time. Have a good one.
My pleasure, guys. Take it easy.
You too, sir. That wouldn't bother you at all, would it, Nick, if Vic Fangio got hired as the Green Bay Packers head coach?
I was nervous as hell last year when they were trying to get him over as the DC, and then Chicago, Ryan Pace, and Matt Nagy decided, hey, we need to keep this guy around. We need to make a financial push, so they gave him a good extension. But you know, when your stock is high, your stock is high. And Vic Fangio's stock is very high. But Vic Fangio's stock was very high at San Francisco, too. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it would make sense. And I think Vic Fangio's going to be up for other jobs. It's not just going to be Green Bay. I wouldn't be shocked if Green Bay tries to make a push at him, but I think he's going to be up for other jobs. I don't know the likelihood of Vic Fangio returning as a defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. I don't know if it'll be in Green Bay, but you know, we see this every year. The hottest offensive coordinators and the hottest defensive coordinators, their names, they get thrown out there, they get interviews, and then it comes down to what's the right opportunity for them, and I'm sure Vic Fangio will have interviews.
The Lincoln Riley thing is very, very interesting to me, Nick. I mean, can you imagine what he may be able to engineer with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers if he makes the jump to that level? And could he and Rodgers coexist? I think that is really the big question, because they are very similar in age. It's not like he's a grizzled veteran NFL guy who's been around a long time. I mean, would Rodgers look at him as an equal? Would he look at him as a coach in an authority position? Or would he look at him as, I've been in the NFL now for what, 10 years? You're going to come in here for 10 minutes and try and tell me what to do? No way. No how. That's not going to happen.
I don't think that it is completely false rumors or just rumors. I think there's truth to how difficult of a person Aaron Rodgers is to deal with internally. I mean, this Moss tweet was one of many things inside the locker room and inside the organization where when you see 12 on game days, my God, whether you hate the guy or love the guy, you're going to follow him.
Sure.
I mean, even the most anti-Aaron Rodgers person in that building, once it's game time, they're all in. How could you not be? I mean, that's what he does. He wins football games. He commands that kind of respect. There's no question. Now you're in a transition, though. And this is a very important time for the Green Bay Packers, because they have ran this division for so long. Then it was the Vikings that started to get better. And it started when they got Zimmer in there. And now you see what Chicago's doing. And this is still, by everyone's account, even if they don't have Vic Fangio next year, this is a year ahead of schedule for what Chicago is currently doing right now. That you're in the transition. You're Green Bay. This is a big-time move. This is a big decision that they have in front of them, because if it doesn't pay off, if it's wrong, if it doesn't necessarily mesh and gel with Aaron Rodgers, they might be moving down the pack, so to speak. They might find themselves in the third or fourth slot if they don't get this thing right, because I don't see the Vikings going away anytime soon, and I think Chicago's only getting started with what they currently have now with the youth on that roster.
Detroit's still playing this division? Asking for a friend.
I'm not going to say Matt Patricia's going to get fired, but I think there are a lot of people in Detroit. I'm not talking about Detroit Line fans. I think people that are within that organization that are wondering if they made the right decision on Matt Patricia, because he has just been not only disappointing with the result on the field very often on, they'll show up every now and then, but just like his overall demeanor, like that weird thing where he told the reporter to sit up straight, don't slouch, coming from a guy who looks sloppy himself. I mean, just a lot of, and then having them practice outside in the freezing cold when their upcoming game is in the dome, is inside, or their, next game is on the road, but it's inside. Like, he does some weird things that I'm not sure if the players are completely following Matt Patricia right now.
Assuming he is trying to emulate his longtime mentor, Bill Belichick, which, as we've seen over the years, is really only one Bill Belichick, and that's Bill Belichick. But again, the good news for him, Nick, is I'm sure if it doesn't work out in Detroit, that Belichick will take him back as the defensive coordinator for the Patriots. We've seen that at least
I would think so,
with one other guy who has on and again, off again, accepted head coaching jobs, been in head coaching jobs, not been in head coaching jobs, and is now their OC there, and is now being talked about for the Green Bay Packers head coaching job again, which I think is just absolutely comical. Why you would consider Josh McDaniels here, I have no idea, but yet his name is still being tossed around.
And it's funny, too, because you look at right now, the two worst teams in that division have the best quarterbacks in the division, and Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers. They do. So it's not the quarterback position. And we always talk about how important that position is, and it is.
You mean like Kirk Cousins guy or what?
I don't think Kirk Cousins is. I would say Kirk Cousins is third. I would say number-wise, he is not a distant third with, you know, how he's performed for the most part. But, yeah, I mean, it's clearly Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, and then Kirk Cousins, and then Mitch Trubisky. And yet, you've got the Bears on top, the Vikings within a game and a half, and then the Packers are all but done with their playoffs, and so
are
the Lions.
They are done. We can put the fork in
them. Mathematically, they're still alive.
Sure. But. All right. Need to take a quick break. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to John Niatawa, of course, on the Creighton beat. That's right around 3:30. Plenty of time for your calls throughout the remainder of the show as well. 402-573-0590. As we continue here on AM 590.
ESPN Mall.